that you would hear hearts that have been broken by the truth of your word. We have not been the people we should have, and we failed to love when we could have, and we, in many cases, have intentionally hurt or spoken evil against someone else or some situation. We, Lord Jesus, have found ourselves many times on the wrong side of your word and your expectations. And Lord, if it wasn't for grace and mercy, we would not even be able to have the courage to speak these things out loud to you. We have gathered together people who have not lived up to the power and potential that you've put into us. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that in your mercy you would forgive our sins. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you'd stir in us a fresh spirit. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you'd give us a new heart. We pray, Lord, that our eyes would see people, life, and circumstances the way you see them. And that in that, Lord, we would feel and know your heart, that we would proclaim your victory, your gospel, your strength. So like that little girl of the judges, that we would, in the middle of all kinds of emotions and feelings, cry out to you, O Lord. O Lord, heal, restore, change, bless, meet whatever needs are in us or in that other woman, Lord. Come, Lord, and turn our hearts toward you. Fill our hearts with true repentance and quiet us before your throne. Quiet our mouths from excuses and justifications until we stand silent, waiting for your hand of mercy and grace. And you, Lord Jesus, by the testimony of your word, have a heart of mercy and grace for sinners. You came to seek and save the lost. You whispered to the thief on the cross, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." You restored Peter after his denials. And so we are trusting in your mercy and grace, and we ask that you would speak that to each of our hearts. My child, you are forgiven because of the shed blood of my son, because my heart toward you has been reconciled and we are not enemies. I value you. I choose you this day. And today you'll be with me in paradise. Lord, let that blessing permeate our minds and our hearts. I pray it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. See if my reader's here. Nope. Going to read these to you. If you don't mind. First one comes out of Acts chapter 2. We're studying Acts, by the way, in men's study. Invite all the men to join us Saturday morning, 7:30. Please come. We've been meeting now at the restaurant down on 16 and Capitol Drive, the 4-star, I think it's called. And 3-star? 4-star? 4-star restaurant. And you are invited to join us. And been a blessing with the men there. From Acts chapter 2, the Pentecost has taken place. This is now Peter's sermon to them. And then right at the end of the sermon, there is this phrasing, verse 42, going on. They, all the Christians, all the apostles and disciples, all those who had been converted, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If you look up above, the second one is found in Philippians chapter 3, so I'd like you to turn there. Philippians Again, Paul is speaking in this letter, but Holy Spirit speaking through him here. Chapter 3, starting at verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Here ends the reading. Like to invite the children to come down if they would, please. Come on down. Good, and now I need all the moms and dads or whoever brought the kids. You come on up, stand in front here along the altar. You're my children illustration. My children's sermon. Come on. Moms, and where's mom? Mom, yes, yes. Yes, how many we got? We're getting close. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Good. Come on, Chris, you're up here too. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I need one more victim. Ah, there, one more. That's a legitimate one. Make yourself in a nice line. Good. Well, look who's standing up in front of you today. All kinds of moms and dads and friends and people that you know. Yeah, wave at them. Say, hi, mom, hi, dad, whatever you want to say. Good. Well, they're part of my children's sermon today. And I'm going to tell you a story that makes my heart really, really sad. How many people are up here? Can we count them? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I only wanted 10, but we got 11. That's even better. Good. No. You're just fine. In my sermon, I'm going to tell you a true story of another pastor. It wasn't me, but this is the sermon that he preached to his congregation one day. He looked out at his congregation, and he said this, I'll be happy if I see 10% of you in heaven. Watch. All you all, go stand over in the bushes, go to hell. Never thought you'd hear the pastor say that, huh? You all go to hell. No. That only works in other religions. One mother got saved. Some of you might be really happy because it's your mom, right? No, you can't come up and save them either. There we go. Yeah, that's okay. Come here, honey. That's okay. Good. Anyway, I looked at that and I went, wow. And he was very serious. It wasn't like, ha ha, all of those people are going to hell, and I'll be thankful if one of you makes it to heaven. All right, it was Pastor Musser. He was a pastor at Our Redeemer. And when I hit my revolting ages in high school, I revolted against Pilgrim, my home church, and I went to Our Redeemer Church, where the word was even tougher, if any of you remember Musser. That was the way I decided to rebel in my rebellious years toward the Lord. And this sermon stands out because I go, wow, all those people in hell, but they all sat in church. They were all, some of them were your mommies and daddies. Now, here's what I want you kids to remember. Watch this now. All of you come back. Come on back. There you go. Come on, line up again. Line up again. We'll even let Hank get rescued now. Yeah. Come on, line up. There you go. Keep tight and squeeze together. Here's what I want you to know. God said, how many of these moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, does God want saved and in heaven? How many of them? All of them. all of your mommies and daddies, all of the people that you know, God wants all of them in heaven. And so here's your job. You ready? You get jobs around the house sometimes, like clean the bathroom, pick up your toys, jobs around the house. I'm going to give you a big job. I want you to do everything you can to make sure these big people behind me get to heaven. Here's what I want you to do. It gets to be time to go to bed. And here's what I want you to say after you've used all the other excuses up. Mommy, Daddy, will you come and pray with us? Or you come and pray with me. Why? Because I want them to pray at least once every day to the Lord Jesus. And here's the best part. I want you to pray for them. Dear Lord Jesus, save my mommy, save my daddy. Dear Lord Jesus, watch over them tonight. Protect all of us. You want to know why? Because the Lord Jesus, when he was asked the question, he walked over and he grabbed one of the little kids. Can I grab you? Come on. And he stood her up and he said, I want you to understand, you've got to enter the kingdom like a little child. And I could have picked any one of you. You get to sit back down. And he was telling all the big people that all the little children, you have an ability to help make sure these people make it to heaven. All right? So if you want to know another thing I want you to do, Mommy, Daddy, will you read me a Bible story before we go to sleep? Or when you get up? Or in the middle of the day? Or anytime you want. You want to know why? Because not only are you going to hear the story, they're going to be remembering it too. And then here's what question I want you to ask them. Mommy, what does that story mean? Can you explain that story to me? Can you do that for me? All right. Now you have them praying. You have them reading the gospel or reading the Bible. Here's another one. I want you, have you ever heard the word gospel? Gospel. If you can remember the word, I want you to say, Mommy or Daddy, what does the word gospel mean? And I better hope they can tell you. Okay? It's all about how Jesus paid for the price for all of our sins and took us to heaven. Can you remember those things? How many people does God want in heaven? Why did the pastor say, I'll be glad if all of you, or if at least one of you makes it? So that all the people would start thinking about it. How many of the children does God want in heaven? All of them. Guess what? You got a job too? Right? Do you hear that? I'm telling them they got a job. You got to ask them if they know what the gospel is. You could even ask, not all the time, but you can ask them to think and ask, what does that mean that you just read in the Bible? Can you take care of that for me? Can you remember that? Good. Now the parents get the first treat. They get first pick. Then if there's anything left, we'll call on you guys. All right? Because I sent them to hell and back already. So, never thought you'd hear me say that either, did ya? Here, you're going to hold it for me, Hank.
I will.
Hold it out and let all the adults. Wait, you got to wait. All the adults, grab something. Yeah, reach in, make a quick decision. And then, Hank, when you're done with the big people, find something for the little people. Dig around in them. You don't have to be bashful. The kids aren't. You'll come around to the kids. Thank you all. There you go. There you go, kids. Don't forget, you got a job to do. Bag's going to go. Pastor's coming to get it. Here, honey.
Do we need another one?
Yeah. There you go. There you go. So was that pastor right or wrong? Pastor Musser, I did not know him like intimately and personally. I sat in the back, you know, like you do when you're a teenager in a visiting church and everything else like that. But I went there quite a bit through, I think, my rebellious years of 16, 17, or whatever it was. And, I didn't choose a different Lutheran, or I chose a different Lutheran church, but man, he was good. And he just convicted and spoke to my heart. It's not a good statistic, obviously. I'll be thankful if 1 out of 10 of you make it to heaven. And yet at the same time, I want to challenge us with it because that was the purpose. I don't think he was just trying to be manipulative either, as I remember the sermon. He was sincerely concerned. I remember listening to the different things I listened to on YouTube. A pastor was sharing, the man was from India, and he was crying. And he said, I'm crying for the pastors of America. Another pastor had fallen and had been caught in immorality, adultery, and other things like that. For some of you, you've kept track and are aware of maybe what happened at Elmbrook just a few weeks ago, a week or two ago, something that happened to them, I think, 2 years ago, something that is going on in the Catholic Church as they try and struggle. And I've shared with you before, I said, do not think that the world somehow sees them as Catholics and Baptists and Reformed and that we're untouched by that. We lump together in the world standards, and we're all the same. We're all following the same Bible. We're preaching the same gospel. We are caught under the same name. But this pastor from India was weeping, and he was weeping for the people of America, and he cried because he just said, when these pastors fall, when this happens, it hurts everybody around them, and it hurts the name of the Lord and everything else like that. And I thought that was pretty significant. And then, you know, as you start to keep listening to different people, I heard another one talk about when he was at seminary and an old guy preached a sermon. And he said the old guy got up there and he said he was so smart I couldn't understand what he said most of the time. And he said, I can't hardly tell you any of the sermons I heard at the seminary, but this was one of the two that stands out in my mind. And he said this old man got up in front of all of us studying to be pastors and teachers and everything else that was there at the seminary. And he began to look at them and he began to weep. And he began to cry over us. And he says, I do not think you have what it takes. I don't think many of you are going to make it. I don't think you have the commitment. He said, when I was your age and we were many years ago now, our commitment was so much that we knew it was going to be very difficult and we were going to have trouble. But we find people that can't keep their relationships together, that walk away from their marriages, that make excuses and they find reasons to break their commitments. And he was crying in the pulpit as he was preaching that sermon. And so I'm hearing this combined with some of the other things I've been listening to, and I just go, how much we long for people to really understand the demands and the commitment that's required. Jesus doesn't mince words. We've talked about that before. Foxes have holes and birds of the sky have nests and other things. I got nothing. If you're following me so you get something, you're following me for the wrong reason. Don't follow me anymore. But don't pretend. And you begin to understand he's calling men to a level of commitment and women to a level of understanding. No, it's not going to be easy. There are too many things that are unpredictable in life, too many situations that you will go through that you cannot anticipate, but you somehow have to commit to surviving. You have to have that kind of toughness and that kind of sensitivity. And so we were studying this on Saturday with the men. We came across this section and couple of the men began to talk about it, and they said, wow, I'm not sure we all do that. I'm not sure we do that in church. I'm not sure that's what our church is known for. I'm not sure that's what the church is known for. And I thought those were excellent questions. And I started to look at this section. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's the word of God. They had no word of God printed for them, though, so they had to very carefully listen orally to the teaching. To fellowship, the intimate interaction one of us with the other. The breaking of bread, probably a reference to both communion as well as the meals that they would share. And to prayer. Now I want you to listen and remember those four. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Those weren't just the believers filled with awe. It was people around them were filled with awe. This was the Pentecost. What is happening to these people? The Holy Spirit is being poured out. The different things that have just taken place. Miraculous signs, remember that one too in just a minute. All the believers were together, had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. They were willing to let go of possessions for the sake of other people. I remember many years ago, I was at a congregation where the people knew there was needs for several of the families in the congregation. They walked up to the altar and carried a set of car keys. They put the car keys on the altar. He says, that's for the Lord's work. You can give them to anybody that needs a car. There's a car. And they release that car. I go, people do things that I'm not always aware of how they do them. This is not a sermon to make you feel guilty. It's a sermon to call you up, call you into. All right? I remember when I started learning how to play basketball, sixth grade. What's offense mean? What's defense mean? And what do you mean, my basket? So I was pretty tall even at that time, and I did the jump ball and somehow got the ball passed back to me and dribbled to the wrong basket. But I made the hit. You know, no one tried to stop me. I couldn't figure out why. It's a good thing to have in your memory because you never laugh at anybody else who ever does it, period. But you have to understand, I was learning, I was understanding, I was, you know, this thing that we're learning here, you know, they had this idea of, can you let go of more? Yeah. You know, you get a point as you get older, you start to let go of things. It doesn't mean that much. Let go of this, let go of that, and we cast them aside. God says, why did it mean so much to you when you had to have it? You go, oh, wow, was I really that selfish? Yes. So they go on. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily who are being saved. The Lord adds to the number. As I read that section, I wasn't intending to preach on it today. I was actually intending to preach on the one I'm going to in just a minute, the Philippians chapter 3 section. But I wanted to kind of bring this all together for you to understand how these things begin to work. Okay? Well, Thursday night we were down at the lake again. And if you remember, Thursday was a pretty mucky day. And Mary was supposed to come down with her violin. I had brought my guitar. Sandy was with us. And whatever, all the different people were in different places and all different things were going on. And we're standing out there and there's like six people down the whole beach. And they're all on that end and some other place. And we look at each other and say, well, looks like it's going to be a quiet day. And we had one lady walk by and we knew she was supposed to come and talk to us, but she didn't. Sandy and I looked at each other. I said, Sandy, she's supposed to stop. And she said, I've tried everything I can think of to get her to stop. She walked past us three times. And we thought that was going to be it for the day. And finally, a little bit older lady walks by and Sandy offers her a bottle. Would you like a bottle of water? Oh, yes. And is there anything that we could pray for you? We're from Lamb of God. And she stopped. And she looked at us. She walked over. And she began to say, oh, my goodness, yes. I have a daughter, okay? And her name, Sandy, help me. Lucy, yes. Is Lucy, and she's fallen away from the Lord. Would you please pray for her? And I have a grandson named Lucas, there we go. Lucas, and he's fallen away from the Lord. And I want both of them saved. And so we put our arm around, we just brought her up close. We said, well, let's pray right now. And we began to pray for her, and whatever the Lord gave us to say was said. And we prayed, and we got done. And there's tears running down her face. And she said, I'm going to tell you something. And she said something close to this. I need you to know you were here for me today. If you ever wonder why you're in the middle of this situation, even if I'm the only one you talk to today, you were here for me. And I want to say thank you to you. And so here she is, blessing us as we intercede for her and her child. And we had other conversation, but that's the bulk of what I want to share. And you begin to understand that you don't always know. You can't always measure the number or the people or how the conversation goes. Here's Sandy's testimony today as the woman from India who came here one other time, asked for prayer, received prayer. The child is healed. She came back again. Heidi gives her another step along the path, almost unconsciously. I don't always do this to people, but Heidi's kind of just walking by nonchalantly. And I go, Heidi, why don't you come and meet? And so she was gracious enough to be introduced and opens up a conversation with her, and turns out she's able to offer her something that she is an Indian woman can have access to and be blessed by. And I go, those are the things that God's inviting us to. Those are the places that you begin to understand what I used to do, where I used to be, it was here. And God says, no, you can go more and more and more. God does not want us walking around going, oh God, I gotta pray today. Shut up. Stop. All right? It's kind of like exercise. Some days you feel like it, and some days you don't. And the point is this. I don't care if you exercise for 1 minute or 2 hours. Do it somehow. Oh, I'll give you a minute, Lord. You know? We'll give you a rainy day down at the beach, Lord. Let's see what you can do with it. God says, you watch. I'll give you a lady that walks in the church, doesn't actually come into the church, did she, the first time? She made it only as far as the narthex out there, and the prayers were given for her and a blessing for her. She had to leave and go to India with her family and comes back from India now many weeks later. And her purpose was to come back, I believe, and say thank you to us and let us know that her child is well, give us testimony. And God smiles and watch this. Good old Bruce, who hardly ever does this, will be a part of this little tiny chain, this little moment, and Heidi will step into it. And I go, this is what God is calling us to. These are the testimonies, the witnesses. These are the opportunities that God is asking us to step into. Well, I was reading this section, and I keep asking the question, why aren't churches like this? And then I have to turn the finger back on me and say, why aren't you? Why aren't your people always like this? And that was part of the conversation we had at men's study. What does it take? What has to change? How come we behave like we do? And we read it, we study it, and we do everything else like that. And I think I shared with you once that there was a preacher who had been to China, and he came back and he said, I was sharing with the Chinese Christian church over there, it's kind of underground again. And he said people were not believing that. In churches, we get together, we talk, we drive in our nice car, an air conditioner heat, arrive dry, sit in an air conditioner heated building on somewhat cushy chairs, and we do our thing, and they couldn't believe that's really what you do. And then if we don't like that church, we go to the one down the block, because they got a better preacher, much better music, much better this or that or something else. And he said, that's the way the people of America go to church. And they laughed, and he said, no. No, where did you guys ever learn to be church like that? And I thought, oh, great. Now I'm listening to another sermon that's going to... And I love it. I love it. And I go, yes. Yes. Where did we ever learn to be church like that? And the question, the men were kind of bantering back and forth of, do we really know the other people we're in church with? Do you know their names? Do you know how their kids are really doing? When was the last time you asked? Did you notice one of the husbands or the wife wasn't here today? you notice something about their child, did you ask if there's anything you can pray for them about or do for them? Or open a door of communication. And here's this text. And it says, we're going to tell you when the whole world was turned upside down and people stood in awe and miracles were happening and the grace of God was being poured out so that in one day 3,000 were converted and many, many hundreds and thousands afterward. And you read and go, wow, that's nice. What's for lunch, by the way? Are we having ham sandwiches again over at your place? You know, what time's the game? I forgot. Did anyone know? That's us. And we go, we can read something, and that's what the men were also being challenged with. It was kind of like, we can't just read stuff. We got to step into it. We have to at least as ourselves interact with people and be as continuously more transparent and actually care more and be more sensitive and understanding and all the things that go on with it, because you don't want to simply be butting into other people's business. But the question is, once I find out you actually care about me, you actually care. Do you think maybe that woman might tell some other woman with a sick child, go up to that church. They pray for people there. What a reputation to have. And God answers their prayers. Well, I was listening to this guy talk about it, and he said this pastor from India said, well, we've gone back to what they call the five pillars of the church. And I want you to look at the text here. And this is the one in, never got to read Philippians today. I'll get there. Look at this text in Acts and listen. He said, pillar number one, the people of the church have to be deeply committed to prayer. Sincere, real, honest, and deep prayer. He said, you can't build a church without it. And you can't build anything without it. You can have all kinds of people in your church, but the question is, 10 of you are going to hell, one's going to heaven. You may have a full church that in one sense is empty out of heaven. The issue is, are all 10 or 11 today going to heaven? That's the issue. The issue is, do we walk out of here and actually carry the message with us? So, number one pillar for the church in China, that's the fastest growing Christian church in the world today. One of the most persecuted Christian churches in the world today. Pillar. Everything has to be with a deep commitment for prayer and intercession. Pillar two. You have to have a deep commitment to be in the Word, to study it and to follow it. If you're not in the Word, you got nothing to share. If you're not in the Word, you got no testimony for that day. How many times when I'm reading the Word in the morning, I sometime during the day turn to some person and go, you know, I was reading this morning about this very thing, and I said in Proverbs, and God goes, yep, I quickened it for you. I brought it to your memory. That's why you stay in the Word. And because if you're not in the Word, it's like never eating. But he said, our church has to be committed. Now remember, they got no buildings. No buildings. They meet in houses. If they get caught, they get shot at sometimes. All right. And they can't relate to this. Pillar number two, be in the Word. Pillar number three, everyone, all of them, are committed to preaching the gospel regularly. Heard the guy ask the question. He said, got a church, maybe 1,000 people sitting in it. He said, if I ask the question, how many of you shared the gospel this week? How many hands would go up? Oh, wow. He said, over there where he was, there were like 25 people in the room with him. And all 25 began to share who they shared the gospel with that week. Why did I ask the kids to ask you what the gospel is? So that your children know what it is. So that you know what it is. So that you understand that message that goes along with that. Number four, and this is the one that began to blow his mind. Regular expectation of miracles from the Lord. And this preacher goes, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm a little more conservative than that. And then he tried, I go, can you imagine a pillar? Pray with expectation. Pray believing. How many times have we heard, and then God opened this door and God changed that and moved it that way. We had a woman walk back in here after she was gone for almost 2 months to say thank you for a prayer that God answered for her in the middle of whatever background she has. I saw the fifth eye or whatever they call it in the center of her forehead and all that stuff. And I go, who knows what God's doing? Right, Heidi? Who knows what God's going to do with that? And you begin to understand, you have to begin to realize we have to exercise faith. We got to walk out there in faith. We have to continue to trust. We've got to learn how to be that kind of people. And this was the last one that really blew him and myself away as we listened to it. We in the church in China embrace suffering for the glory of Christ. Embrace. Anyone ever told you to do that? I have a little bit of a pinched nerve in my back. I'm going, whoa, that, you know, those sciatic things you get once in a while from doing everything or doing nothing, wherever it came from. Embrace. Or suffering for the Lord. It started to rain on us. It was a mucky day. I could have been doing other things. But what did I do? I went to the beach. Embrace. You understand? There is this sense that we have to understand as the Church of America, as Christians, God hasn't promised us this easy life. God hasn't said it's going to be easy or simple. It's going to be challenging and difficult. And the circumstances that we have in our lives can go in multiple directions. Not that we walk around looking for evil, looking for suffering, like somehow we're going to have to walk out there and say, oh, come on into my life. I need more. It's more along the line of being willing to embrace whatever it is. That suffering for the sake of somebody I care about, or a child, or somebody else in my life, or some situation, the concept of embracing the suffering. And I go, this is all over in the church, and this is where I'm going to read from Philippians, the last little bit. This is Philippians 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. What did I ask? I asked a group of little kids. I want you to think like big people. You go home and you ask your mom or dad if they'll pray with you. If your parents aren't praying, ask them. I don't care if you're 2, 3, 5, 10, 12, 16, 18. Grab their hands. Pray with them. And pray for them. One of the things I used to do on a junior class retreat that I had many years was on one of the days and nights the kids were talking to each other, talking about many things, and I asked them and made them write a letter to their parents. Pastor Harmon, just be quiet. Grab a sheet of paper. How long does it have to be? Long enough. How long can we do this? As long as it takes. I cannot believe how many times kids would either come back, parents would take the time to say, I cried when my kid's letter came. You know, I've been throwing away junk and emptying stuff, and I dug out these letters written to me by my kids. And as an old man, tears came to my eyes as I heard the ministry from my 10-year-old son or my 12-year-old daughter writing this letter, not because of that, but for other reasons. And I went, do you understand the power that you have that Christ has given you? Why don't you forgive? Why don't you love? Why don't you reach out? You're missing the tears of joy. You're missing the opportunity where someone finally looks at you and says, you know, when I got your letter, I couldn't believe it. Thank you. Doesn't have to be deep. Doesn't have to be that long. You took the time. So I challenge you, if you're smart enough to hear what I'm saying to you and you got a mom or a dad, write them a letter. What's it going to take? Shut up. Throw your cell phone out the door temporarily. All right? Sit down and write them a letter. Dear Dad, I don't often say thank you. Dear Mom, how did you ever put up with me? You understand, God is speaking and he's ministering through a church that's working. And I go, remind, a commitment to pray, a commitment to the word, a commitment to preach the gospel, a commitment to have enough faith to believe in miracles, and a commitment to embrace and be unafraid of suffering for the kingdom of God and the church of Jesus Christ. Some of you turn to your wife, your husband, and you go, I'm suffering. I go, good. Now shut up about it. You understand, God doesn't want your lips. He wants your heart. These people in China aren't doing these things because some pastor gave them five steps. They're doing them because they come under conviction. It is who they want to be. It's the church they want to be. I want to meet someone. I want to know someone new today. I want to find out what makes that man or woman tick. I want to know so that I can be a part of praying for them, interceding for them, or making a difference in their life. That was the cry that was being presented in the men's study from a group of men who we sometimes say none of us deal with feelings at all. And it was all feeling. How do we get us to be that kind of church? And so step one, I'm going to do the invitation. This is who God's calling us to be. It worked here in the book of Acts. I'm giving testimony to what I heard shared related to the church in China. And I'm looking at you and I going, any way we can move closer to any of these steps will bring the presence of God, the work of God, the accomplishment of God into our fellowship. There are people to save. One at a time. How important is that one person? We're all going to stop. The one person is going to be brought up. That's all that matters today. Can we do that? Yeah. Why? Because we've learned. We've learned this is what God has called us to do. We've learned this is how the gospel gets shared. We've learned if we don't care, we cannot reach into that person's life or heart or circumstances. And so in the middle of all of the things that we're talking about, God's calling us to understand, I want all 100% of those people in heaven. You and I have the privilege of making that happen, and he calls us to it. Pray with me. Lord, when you proclaimed your gospel into my sinful heart, and your Holy Spirit quickened it till I was brought to life, you made dead bones, decayed bones, rotted bones live. Lord Jesus, if you can find both the love and the commitment to the dead and rotted bones of who I am without you, to love and enter my life, I pray, Lord, that we would take to heart the words in the book of Acts, that we would have a heart to listen to the church and Christians of China. And that in all of these areas, we would begin to step until we reflect this kind of commitment to you, to your word, to the gospel, and even to suffering. To you be all the glory, Lord Jesus. We pray it in your name. Amen.